Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Picking up the pace, Sunday morning. It is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter. We are broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. One more hour to go, then at 11 o'clock, Danny Klingscale is going to jump behind the mic with baseball tonight. Get you ready for the Royals in Cleveland and their series finale there. 12-10 first pitch, Jason Hamill against Mike Clevinger. So Danny Klingscale coming up at 11 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, the Masters coverage from Westwood One. And our coverage is brought to you by Brokers Gin, Buck Roofing, Amini's, and M&M Golf Carts. So that's at 1 o'clock, the Masters. When I was tooling around yesterday, I had to running kids to soccer games and our fundraiser at our grade school, and I enjoyed the Masters on Westwood One. They have some top-notch broadcasters covering the Masters. And you would think, but, 15 years ago, I don't know if golf was on radio 20 years ago, and you might have thought, how do you do golf on radio? It's really good. The people at Westwood One have really good, insightful people, and they can set it up in a way in which you can picture the course and the way the shots are falling. So that's at 1 o'clock. 8 o'clock tonight, Major League Soccer action. Sporting KC and LA Galaxy. Nate Buchady on the call as they broadcast live from No Other Pub down at Power and Light. And then after that, around 10 o'clock, the final whistle with Dave Borchert. So that should be a lot of fun. Royals starting lineup for today is out. If you want your Sunday lineup, courtesy of Joe Goldberg, Fox Sports Midwest. Weather report in Cleveland, sunny, 30 degrees, wind chill of 20. But they're going to play baseball today. Royals lineup today, leading off, John Jay in left. Whit Merrifield at first base.
Now why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? He was in right field yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Second base before that.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday, first base for Merrifield. Third, hitting third and playing third is Mike Moustakas. Lucas Duda cleaning up, DH. Jorge Soler back in right field. Hitting fifth, because why wouldn't you?
Again,
Why not? Ryan Goins gets a second straight start.
That's what you want, more
there
Ryan
go.
Goins.
More. If there's one thing
I
was
fever.
Asking after the only prescription, it's more Ryan Goins. We all put our pants on the same way. It's just what I do. I get up and make gold-plated records. For those of you who don't know the Will Ferrell skit from Saturday Night Live.
Christopher Walken.
More cowbell. We might have to find that and play that later. It's hilarious. Alcides Escobar at short. Alex Gordon in center again. Cam Gallagher behind the plate.
I don't mind Cam Gallagher.
No, don't mind him at all.
Behind the plate.
Don't mind him at all.
The rest of that lineup is garbage.
Well, they got him a win yesterday. 1-0.
Touche.
There we go. Whatever works. All right, we're going to switch gears and talk a little Chiefs football now. With Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Matt Derrick, just like it sounds. Matt, how are you doing on this, another cloudy Sunday. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it feels like a football Sunday, doesn't it?
It does. You're right. Okay. So that's what I'm looking for, something positive. It feels like a football Sunday. Maybe that'll help my seasonal affect disorder, which I diagnosed myself. I don't actually have that. Just ready for some sunshine at some point. It'd be nice.
Oh, I think we're all pretty sad right now with the weather and that Royals lineup. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, they got to win. They got to win yesterday. Got to shut out Ian Kennedy.
They did indeed.
Ian Kennedy looked great. ChiefsDigest.com. I know you guys got a lot of draft stuff, pre-draft stuff going on. With the Chiefs not having a pick in the first round, has it changed the things you're focusing on, whether it's players, whether it's positions of need, anything like that? Do you have to tackle this a different way?
Yeah, I mean, from my standpoint, not really. I mean, because I think you are looking at kind of the same things that you always do. I mean, you kind of hit on it right there. I mean, it's really what are the positions of need and everything. I mean, the only thing that maybe changes a little bit is just being prepared for what might happen, because could this team, Brett Veach make a move to get them back into the first round and, be fairly active during this draft? It's possible. I mean, that to me is, I think, the thing to be the most prepared for is that I can't imagine, based on what we've seen so far from Brett Veach and the way that he's run this team as general manager in his short term so far, that I can't imagine he's going to stand pat on draft week and just sit there and take all of these picks right where they are. I mean, I think he's going to move around. And if one of those moves is moving up in the first round to get somebody that they want, I think it's distinctly possible.
What would you envision a package looking like to get somewhere into the first round, and whether it's current draft picks, whether it's future draft picks, whether it's a player on the roster plus draft picks? What kind of package do you think it'll take to get up in the and you know, I don't think they're thinking they're getting into the top 10, but maybe somewhere to the top 20 to 26 players? What kind of package would you look at there?
Yeah, and you know, and really, the value is even just getting into the late end of the first round for somebody that you really like, because, you know, you get that first round draft pick, you get that extra fifth year option, and that's something that actually has a whole lot of value. And the Chiefs are going to kind of maybe run into that, how valuable that is with, you know, Chris Jones. They traded out of the first round, it ended up taking Chris Jones, you know, early in the second. And, you know, now the way that he's played, you look at it and you're thinking, gosh, that fifth year option may be pretty valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's to me where I think the sweet spot of where they would like to try and get to if they do move into the first round is really kind of at the late end. And at that point, you know, you're talking about certainly your second this year, probably at least another mid-round pick this year, and maybe even a third pick or a player. You know, last year, for instance, hey, you know, the Chiefs threw James O'Shaughnessy into a trade with the Patriots and everything to pick up a draft pick. You know, so there's always guys on the team on the roster that maybe another team wants. You know, maybe it's not a top flight player. Maybe it is one of these reserves that another team really likes and would like to take a chance on. So that's kind of what I think it would probably take at least. I mean, you're talking at least maybe your second this year, one of your middle round picks, you know, fourth round pick, and probably another, either, like I said, a player or a pick, and that could certainly be something from next year if necessary. But that's probably about what you're kind of looking at to make that move.
And in terms of, you know, improving your roster, if you're happy with who you have now and you don't want to sacrifice anything to get into the first round, I get that. That's fine. But in just from a pure fan perspective and a public relations perspective, you got to be on TV that first day. You got to have the commissioner walking up there saying the Chiefs select with the 23rd overall pick. I know it may not change the fortunes of the franchise, but from a fan perspective, I don't want to sit out the first day.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. And I haven't looked at it to see what the team is doing, but, you know, every year they do an event out at, you know, the facility and everything.
I was going to ask you that.
First night of the draft. And I haven't heard if they're still planning on doing that or if they're, like, pushing it back to Friday instead and everything. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, if you miss out on the first round, you miss out on a lot of action. I mean, you do miss out on the publicity. You miss out on a lot of the fan excitement and everything. You know, and that's—I don't know if that's necessarily a reason to make the move to get into the first round and everything. I mean, I still think obviously you've got to do what's best for the team and to get the players you want, and if it means hoarding some picks and getting more bodies, then maybe, you know, just moving up to get a body that you really like a lot better. You know, I mean, you got to do what's best. I mean, you can't—I don't think you can take some of those other things in consideration. But I mean, you're right. I mean, it's going to feel like the Chiefs aren't even in the league for an entire night until you get to, you know, Friday and Saturday.
We're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. Follow on Twitter at Matt Derrick. Draft, gosh, it's sneaking up on us. It's almost here. Matt, we hear every year from the general managers and the coaches and even the owners in terms of what are you looking for in the draft? Are you looking for the best available, or are you drafting for positions of need? And inevitably, they all say, well, we take the best player available. I don't believe that's 100% the case. I just don't. I think there's too many things that can go wrong if you don't fill a glaring spot on your roster that needs a body there, a talented player there. So with the Chiefs not being in the first round and drafting later, what should their philosophy be? Should it be, we really need a defensive lineman here? You know, we lost a couple of linebackers. We need to fill that. Or, hey, if there's a running back at, you know, number 37, just arbitrarily throwing out a number, there's a running back at 37, and he's the best one, we take it. I just don't believe that's going to be the case.
Yeah, you know, and just like anything else, I mean, everything, you know, some certain things are true from a certain point of view. And you can say that you're taking the best available player in a way if what you're saying is, hey, there's, you know, maybe 10 players that we like and they're in this bucket. We're going to get one of those players. That's to us. They're all equal. They're different positions. As long as we get one of these players, hey, that's our best available, you know, athlete available kind of thing. So you can kind of do it that way. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I don't see that, you know, Brett Veach's philosophy is going to be a whole lot different in that regard from maybe what we saw from John Dorsey. I mean, I think that, you know, I think Brett Veach had a lot of influence on the drafts with John Dorsey, especially you take a look at some of the players that they took. I mean, you know, Brett Veach's strength has been in the South. And you look at the players that the Chiefs got out of there, you know, especially like a Tyreek Hill and some of these things. You know, I think you saw a lot of Brett Veach's influence, especially in the last few seasons in that draft. And so I think you can learn a lot from what the Chiefs have done and, you know, what they're going to and what Veach might do. But when you get down to the essence of it and, you know, what Brett Veach likes and everything, I mean, he likes a lot of the same things that Dorsey did and that, are, you know, I think are fairly common right now, which is, you know, obviously you like athleticism, you like guys that can move. You know, we know in the secondary that he likes players who can, you know, get their hands on the ball. You know, even if they don't necessarily produce a lot of turnovers, he likes somebody who can defend a lot of passes. So I think that puts, you know, maybe a little bit different spin on, you know, who the Chiefs might look at certain positions. But I think you can. I think at least in the sense of what, you know, Brett Veach's philosophy might be, I think you can look maybe the last couple of seasons of the John Dorsey drafts and see a little bit of his influence there and what they might do this year.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I am Brad Porter. We're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, with the draft about 2.5 weeks away now. Look, this next question, none of us know the answer to this, but maybe we all have different gut feelings about it. When it comes to the draft, Brett Veach is a first-year general manager. Well, I guess technically going into his second season. He was hired after the draft last year, or promoted after the draft last year, after John Dorsey was fired. Do you have a gut feeling for how much control Brett Veach has over the picks versus the influence that Andy Reid has inside in the war room, in the draft room, and who when it comes down to it, who gets the final call?
You know, I think that's a fairly interesting question. And, you know, last July when Brett Veach gets this job and everything, I think the conventional wisdom, you know, was that with him being an Andy Reid guy and having been through with him for so long that it was going to give Andy a little bit maybe more voice in personnel matters and maybe especially the draft than, you know, he had with Dorsey and everything like this. But I don't know. I mean, I think that I get the sense and everything like this that when it comes to these matters, when it comes to the, you know, to the college players and the college draft and scouting, that Andy Reid has a tremendous amount of confidence and faith in Brett Veach and his evaluation. So outside of certain positions that it may come to, I mean, especially the quarterback spot and everything where, you know, Andy Reid's the guru there. I mean, if Andy Reid says he likes a quarterback, you go get the quarterback. But I think that by and large that Reid really trusts Veach's judgment and especially with the college scouting and everything. And as deep as the college scouting has to be in the draft and everything, I think you have to have that faith in your general manager to make the call. So, you know, I mean, I think they're going to be in lockstep when it comes to the draft pick. I don't think that they're going to disagree on who they're going to take or anything like this. But I think Brett Veach is probably going to have a lot bigger voice in saying it than maybe we all anticipated, you know, last summer when he got the job that, you know, maybe he was just going to be more of Andy Reid's assistant. I think Rhea has a lot of faith in his decisions and his decision making and everything and who he would take. So I think he's going to have a bigger voice than we anticipated.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. We're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. All right, Matt, a quote or a tweet, I guess, that went out earlier this week that caught my attention, it caught everybody's attention, was from Mr. Johnny Manziel. And he said, the Cleveland Browns, something to the effect that the Cleveland Browns never should have drafted me. They should have known I couldn't play their system and I didn't know what I was doing and that I wasn't going to pay attention. And that and their quarterback room was awful and they didn't help me at all. And the way I interpreted that was he wasn't ready to play in a pro-style offense. The Browns should have been more aware of that than they were and didn't do enough to help him. So that brings me back to the Chiefs because Patrick Mahomes II, who, believe me, I am not comparing him to Johnny Manziel in any way. Patrick Mahomes II seems to be a pretty good person with his head on his shoulders, very smart kid. But he played in the five wide, you know, air raid type of offense, a variation of that offense. It didn't run a lot of pro sets, wasn't under center a lot. You watched the Chiefs at practice every day last year. As far as bringing in a guy, a kid who hasn't played that kind of football before and teaching him that system, in your opinion, watching Patrick Mahomes every day in practice, how much did he progress last year? We saw it in the one game, but you saw the daily progress. How much did he progress, and how much did Andy Reid and Smith, Alex Smith, help him out and get him ready to now be the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs?
I think we saw a lot of progression. I mean, and especially if you talk about what we saw from, you know, Patrick Mahomes at rookie minicamp all the way to that game against the Broncos. It was a different quarterback. I mean, it rarely was. I mean, you know, he did. I mean, he looked a little bit lost early on, everything like this. And he spoke even at the rookie minicamp. I mean, he talked about the fact that how much homework he was going to have to do and learning that he needed to do. And you saw it even off right off the bat. I mean, you know, Mike Kafka, the, you know, quarterback's coach now, who was kind of a special assistant last season, he was attached to the hip to, you know, Mahomes all season long. I mean, there was just, it never seemed like there was a practice moment that those two were not together and everything like this. And the amount of detailed coaching and attention that they gave Mahomes, I mean, if you take what, you know, take what Manziel said at face value, clearly what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes was the absolute other end of the spectrum, because this kid had somebody with him, it seemed like, almost every single moment, and a lot, and a voice in his head, you know, talking to him all the practice long. And I think it definitely made a difference. I mean, we saw a lot of progressions, and I think that by training camp, we even saw a different Patrick Mahomes than we had in mini camp. And I think that by the end of the season, and then you saw that Denver game, it was another variation of Mahomes. And does he still have things to learn? Absolutely. I mean, he's not completely polished yet. I mean, there are, and Brad Veach has even acknowledged, I mean, even though he has said, hey, we want to win the Super Bowl every year, and that's our goal this year, you know, he has, and Andy Reid both have admitted, hey, we're going to make mistakes this year. And when they say that, they're talking about the quarterback spot. And there are going to be things that he needs to learn, things that really matter to the point of, you know, what he can do and what he can't do on a football field. And once he learns those, and if he can learn those, I mean, you know, I think the sky's going to be pretty much the limit on Patrick Mahomes. But if based on the progression that we've seen so far from, you know, that, like I said, that first mini camp to the end of the season, it was a remarkable progression. I mean, I thought he improved in a lot of different ways.
All right, we're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. One more question on that topic. Do you think at all, we don't know how much influence Brett Veach had in the draft room last year because it was still John Dorsey in charge along with Andy Reid. But do you think collectively they looked at Patrick Mahomes and not only agreed that he had a massive upside in terms of talent at quarterback, do you think maybe teams, and this would be interesting to talk to maybe a retired scout, do you think teams look a year ahead and maybe like, let's take this year and look at a Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and think, you know, next year's class is going to be okay, but not that great. We need a quarterback now, and if we miss Mahomes, we're going to regret it. Do you think that plays a part in it at all? I would think it might a little bit.
Oh, I absolutely think that it plays a small factor. Absolutely. I mean, and when it comes to the NFL, I have no doubt that they go, you know, several years deep into their draft boards and everything like this, but, you know, with their scouting and everything and taking a look at, hey, who's going to be here, good grief, in the 2021 draft. I mean, that's the NFL. It's what they do. I mean, they're scouting every single level. I wouldn't be surprised at some point, you know, you start talking about high NFL guys, you know, watching guys out of high school, so then they know where to put them on their draft board.
Sure.
Down the road.
You know, the NBA does.
You know, I think the Mahomes factor is an example of, you see a player that you think is, you know, one of a kind, you go get him at that point. I mean, you absolutely have to. And, you know, and the Chiefs did that. I mean, you know, there have been other quarterbacks who've come along. I mean, good grief, they were sitting there with the possibility of even drafting Johnny Manziel. They could have made a move to go get him. There have been other players. I mean, they could have, and this trade shows that at any point in the John Dorsey reign, they could have gone to go get a quarterback if they wanted one. And this move and the commitment they made truly shows this was the quarterback they think is the future. If they thought that there was a quarterback in this year's draft that would help them, I think they would have sat back, they would have let Mahomes go wherever he went, and they would have saved those picks and made the trade this year to move up to get who they wanted. I think it speaks volumes to the fact that this is the guy that they wanted. They didn't see anybody else coming along that was anywhere close.
All right, final question for you, Matt and Derek. With the draft right around the corner, we'll step outside the Chiefs for this final question. Just give me one name. If the draft positions hold as they are today, which I don't think they will, but if it holds as they are today, with Cleveland going number one, John Dorsey running the draft, give me the name of who goes first. Is it Sam Darnold? Is it Saquon Barkley, the running back? Is it Josh Rosen? Is it Minka Fitzpatrick? Is it Josh Allen? Who goes number one overall if Cleveland holds on to that spot?
Man, it's that's a tough call. It really is. I'm torn on it because I on the one level, I think that, you know, Saquon Barkley is just, you know, just otherworldly talent. I mean, he seems like an
ridiculous
absolute can't miss. And if you're Cleveland, hey, you need everything. And you know, I think with the, you know, with the way that the draft lines up and everything like this, they could take the chance to say, hey, wait a minute, we could grab Barkley and still get a quarterback that we like. But if there's a quarterback that they really truly love, they've got to get him, and then just cross your fingers and see who falls to you late at that second pick and everything. My gut says you got to take the quarterback. So I think that, you know, I think there are probably fewer question marks around Darnold than anybody else. So that's where I would think they would go right now. But gosh, Barkley that's a tantalizing pick right there. Because that kid looks like can't miss, and you don't get too many can't miss players. I mean, I think the running backs are a lot of times overvalued, and you can find value at running back. Look at Kareem Hunt. You can
exactly
find value in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. But Barkley looks like the real deal. I mean, he looks like another level. So that's hard to pass on.
All right, Matt, Derek, it is snowing once again outside. Just looked out the window. It's more like flurries, but it's coming down a little bit. So try to stay warm and enjoy your Sunday. And if you're into the golf, enjoy the Masters or continue with the draft prep for ChiefsDigest.com. I appreciate your time, my friend.
Anytime, my friend. Good talking to you.
All right, that is Matt Derek. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Derek. Pretty simple. All right, we will take a quick time out here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Sporting KC big road game. I don't know if you call an early season game big because this season is so long, but it is big. It's national television, Fox Sports 1. It's live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Sporting KC, LA Galaxy, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. You ask for something, I give you Zlatan. And I'm using an accent that's not Swedish because he's Swedish. I got to listen to him more to get the accent down. But anyway, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com is going to join us next and set us up for Sporting KC. We will take a quick timeout. This is Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter as we broadcast live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I like this track. This is a really good track. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm Brad Porter. We are broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Jed Marshall is running the show. We hope to connect up with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com here momentarily. Sometimes Andy sleeps in a little bit, should we say that? I know he was gets in Twitter battles sometimes, and it was going well into the night last night. Like a certain fan base, he'll write something for NBCSports.com, or he'll send out a little jab boy, it'd be nice if Real Salt Lake did something once in a while, and then it collapses on him, and he takes on the trolls.
Well, when I initially booked Andy, it was my fault because I thought we were on from 9 to noon like we typically are. So I said, yeah, would you mind coming on at 11? I know that you're a young guy. You like getting after it sometimes. So if would 11 work?
And you're talking about just being up late, right?
Whatever. Okay. You whatever get after it means in anybody's world. That's what I mean. So he's like, yeah, that'd be perfect. I text him back 20 seconds later. I'm like, oh, blank. We're only on until 11. Can 10:25 work? No problem. 10:25 it is. I'm like, all right, you're the man. I'll talk with you Saturday or Sunday morning. And, yeah, sent him a text and called him three times. And each time the rings have gotten shorter. So, we may or may not get Andy. I texted him. I'll see if he responds to that. If not, hey, you know what? More of me and Brad Porter. Because who doesn't want that?
I think the people have spoken. I think Andy Edwards has
they
spoken.
They want Andy Edwards.
Well, I think Andy Edwards has spoken. Maybe he wants more of BP and Jed, huh?
And let's see what his text says. Oh, yeah, no. You and Brad are really good on the air.
Keep going.
Why would I bother even coming on?
It's right. it's like Animal House. I'm giving the John Belushi speech, and somebody said, quiet, he's rolling. He's rolling. By the way, speaking of rolling, the snow is coming down harder now. This
just... Wow.
It's April 8th, for crying out. I think we've all collectively had it.
It's actually snow. Like, that's real
snow. That's
snow. That's
snow.
Not flurries.
No,
that's snow.
That's legitimate snow.
Wow, that's depressing.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun drive home.
I shouldn't have opened up those blinds.
No.
That's why everybody keeps them closed in here.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Well, I tell you what will definitely warm you up is taking in tonight's Sporting KC game at 8 o'clock. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati on the call, and he'll be live at No Other Pub down at Power and Light. And then the post-game show, Final Whistle with Dave Borchardt at 10 o'clock. You can also watch it live on Fox Sports 1. And as Jed dials, I got to ask you about a rule. I know there's broadcasting rules when you talk about beverages of a certain nature. You can say the name of the beverage, right? I was gonna, No Other Pub has some specials. I can't give out the price, correct? But I can tell you what they're
in
what
Missouri.
They have.
I think you're okay. We can get around it.
Well, I'll be careful about it. Let's just
give me a for instance. What name the beverages?
Okay, No Other Pub. If you go down there tonight, they're going to have a lot of stuff going on. They have 16-ounce Coronas, which I know Soren Petro promotes Corona a lot. And I want to try the new one. He's promoting the
Corona
new
one. Premium.
Premium, yeah. I want to try that one. So I won't give you the price, but it's. It's a good price for a 16-ounce Corona.
Would I need more than 8 quarters?
Yes.
12 quarters.
Now you're... Yes.
16 quarters?
You're getting close. It's a good price for a 16-ounce. So they have Coronas.
So less than a load of laundry, you can get yourself a nice, tasty drink.
Yes. Bottomless soda.
There you go. That's for me.
Yeah.
How much is the you? I know you can say the soda price. That doesn't matter.
$20 for a bottomless.
Bottomless soda for $20.
Yeah. If you're at a bar and restaurant, is that a fair price? I don't know.
I don't run any restaurants. I don't know.
They also have a buffet going on down there.
Ooh, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you got a buffet, all-inclusive buffet.
I know that they have...
Oh, I'm sorry. The buffet includes the bottomless soda.
Oh, okay.
Soda.
Yeah, I was going to say.
$20 buffet with the bottomless soda.
Yeah, there you go. That's me right there.
Okay, so No Other Pub, the place to be on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
So my original point was, if you wanted to warm up, and you flip on the game on Fox Sports 1, and it's in Southern California, and it's...
You're drinking these cheap beers, man.
Right.
You'll get loose pretty quick. You'll feel real warm.
That's right. We did bring up while Andy may or may not join us.
I'm leaning towards not, since he's not responding to any texts or anything. So
something that has nothing to do with what we've talked about in the show so far.
Well, we can re-rack a couple of different things.
Well, I thought this was a good one that you brought up this morning. A little, you always get the news and notes and historical points of reference that happen on this day in sports. And this is a good one because it's two players It involves passing one player that I really like and the record going to a player that I really like. So on this date, 40 years ago today, Hank Aaron hit home run number 715. And this is what it sounded like.
Once again, a standing ovation. ovation for Henry Aaron. So the confrontation for the second time. Aaron walked in the second inning. He means the tying run at the plate now. So we'll see what Downing does. Al at the belt delivers, and he's low. Ball one. And that just adds to the pressure. The crowd booing. Downing has to ignore the sound effects and stay a professional and pitch his game. One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive in the deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
Wow. That is Vin Scully on the call for Hank Aaron. Home run number 715 on this date 40 years ago. And it's still some great video because in the video, he's not really he's not really celebrating as he's rounding the bases. There's people running onto the field and patting him on the back, and he looks like he just wants it to be over because I'm sure it weighed on him. You know, when Roger Maris was catching Babe Ruth for the single home single season home run record, it wore on him, and he was losing chunks of his hair, and even Yankee fans had hated him because they didn't want him to pass Babe Ruth. But it probably weighed on Hank Aaron. He was probably getting, I can imagine, the awful letters and things people would say to him back then. But what a great day in sports history and baseball history. Hank Aaron, home run number 715 on this date 40 years ago. Hopefully it wasn't snowing on the day that it happened. Like it's swirling snow, for crying out loud. Tommy Moe, how you dealing with the snow out there? Are you doing something to stay warm today?
I'm getting somebody out of jail. They're, at least they're not going to take hold on that jail cell.
Oh, that.
Yeah, I've made more calls from the Shoal Creek Police Department than any other place in the United States, even my own house. I think I've been up here probably a dozen to 20 times making phone calls to y'all. For some reason, you're calling into your show attracts me to this police department.
Okay, well, I got to be honest with you, Tommy Moe. I've talked with you a few dozen times. I did not expect the conversation to be going in this direction at all.
Yeah, no problem. But so that was 40 years ago. I remember I was in my bedroom watching it on my probably 19-inch color console that was the size of a twin-size mattress. I mean, if we remember the TVs back in the 70s.
Yeah, that was a luxury then.
Watching that game because you usually didn't see games. I don't know if it was during the week or a Monday night game, but I usually didn't see those games other than maybe Monday night baseball with Howard Cosell and all that. But that game was a special game. I guess they were anticipating him breaking the record. So I don't know if it was on a Monday or not, a Monday night, but I do remember watching that game. Was it Al Downing or something like that made the pitch?
That I'd have to look back. That's a Pete Enoch question, or Curtis Siebold.
No, Pete Enoch, it had to be in the 40s. For Pete Enoch's question. it was Navy's tailback in the 1943 game. Well, come on, Pete, we all love him, but my God.
Tommy, you actually are the nerd now because it was Al Downing.
Thank you. Yeah. What's more historic?
So don't run down Pete.
715 or some, you know, slappy running back that ran for Navy in the 40s. What's more historic?
Definitely Pete's question. No doubt.
Yeah, Pete wrote a book I haven't, so there you go, Pete. Hey, you're one up on me.
Hey, Tommy Moe, I just want to clear something up for myself and for Jed and for the listeners. I got a text message from someone who knows what you do for a living, and I don't want to say unless you want me to say, but you're not, when you say you're at the jail bailing somebody out again, these aren't like, you don't have like these delinquent relatives that are always getting arrested, right?
No, luckily, I haven't, let me think. I've been doing this for almost 20 years. I've yet to bond out anyone with my last name or any of my bloodlines. But there's always a first.
So you're a bail bondsman by trade?
Yes, I am. I sell freedom.
That makes me feel better because initially when you started, and Todd Lebo texted me to say, hey, just so you know, this is what he does. When you initially said that you're always up at the jail bailing somebody out, I thought you had these, you know, uncles or brothers or somebody that you have who always getting in trouble.
No, I would be the one, you know, that would be getting the one
okay.
My siblings are all above board and retired and living large.
Okay.
And, I'm driving a car with 310,000 miles, bonding somebody out of jail. So there you go.
Tommy, that's part of the reason why you're so fast and you teach track, though, because you have to catch all the criminals to make sure they don't jump the bail?
Yeah, but I always said I coach high school track, and I bail people out of jail just so the two professions don't cross over.
I'll bet someday we'll have to do – I don't know if we can do it on a sports show, but maybe we can – I don't know. Maybe one day we take 20 or 30 minutes and you can share with us some of the more – interesting stories that you're allowed to share over the air about your career.
This was at the Raytown jail. Real quick, I was at the Raytown jail, and the guy was in jail with his girlfriend.
Oh boy!
And he had his other girlfriend come bond them both out.
Oh my gosh!
Then they all three, happy as clams, left the Raytown jail, and the girl that bonded the other two out, she got arrested about 2 minutes later.
Curtis Siebold.
Oh no.
No, Curtis never gets thrown in jail. You actually have to leave your home to get thrown in jail.
Oh, boy.
Curtis never leaves his home and does anything fun or entertaining. It's kind
Curtis
of hard to,
you know, bold.
Get thrown in jail for watching repeats of, you know, All in the Family.
You're writing Seren's material for him. Hey, Tommy, thank you very much. And hopefully you can get whoever you're supposed to be bonding out soon and get back to someplace where it's nicer and warmer and get out
and,
of the...
Honestly, Brad, don't talk about alcoholic prices. You can talk about beverage prices all you want. There's been no one on this face of the earth that's ever died of, you know, diabetes, right?
Probably has, actually.
Yeah, exactly. We can promote sugar and beverages, and people are out there dying of diabetes, but my God, we can't say the world would crumble if we mentioned $3.99 beers on the radio.
Well, I just have to follow the rules, or eventually they tell me you can't do the radio anymore. Hey, Tommy, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you very much, and have some fun out there, and stay safe, please.
He's gone.
Yeah, he probably has to. I'll bet if he's been a bail bondsman for a long time, he knows how to handle himself in delicate situations.
Probably.
I would guess.
Tommy seems to be pretty even-tempered, pretty even-keeled, which is probably a useful skill to have.
So I wonder if the guys, the deputies or the officers, the jail, I wonder if they have 810 on, and that's why Tommy walks in and they're listening to 810 and picks up the phone and gives us a call or whatever.
Maybe.
Or just guesses that we're on the air.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't have a lot of jail experience, so I can't really tell you what the radio stations are in the jails. Some, but not a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, that, I was not
I thought
expecting
Tommy
to go
was
in
calling
that.
About Patrick Reed, because he said he loves Patrick Reed because he's a heel.
Hey, you know, some people do.
Which,
it's okay to like the bad guy.
For sure, and actually, we were talking about this during one of the breaks. I thought that's what you were going to recall, but the article from USA Today that I mentioned, the author actually is cheering for Patrick Reed.
Well, there you go, and I owe the writer an apology. I mean, it was an article pointing out every bad thing he's ever done or been accused of doing.
Which are quite a few.
Which are quite a few. The list is long and distinguished. I'm trying to get my train of thought back, because I was not expecting that our conversation would go down the bail bondsman route, but that's okay. It happens.
You plan for soccer, you end up with bail bondsman.
It's the way it goes. It's just the way it goes.
Channeling our inner Joshua Briscoe.
Yes. Yeah, you never know where it's going to go. Maybe we'll bring it back to the Masters here, because our coverage from Westwood One will begin at 1 o'clock on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and our coverage is brought to you by Brokers Gin, Buck Roofing, Amini's, and M&M Golf Carts. And just to update you, the players who are not going to be in position to win are already out on the course, and I'll just pick out a couple of names of note to throw out there. Phil Mickelson, after playing awful yesterday, has been able to get himself back on track. I mean, he's not going to win, but he's 3-under through seven holes. Considering how he played yesterday, that's much better. So he's at +4. Tiger Woods is out and started. He is even par after the first hole, stands at 4-over for the Masters. Bryson DeChambeau, one of the young players who I kind of like, he takes some risks with his equipment. Likes to have all the shafts on all of his clubs the same length. It's something he believes in that a lot of other people don't. But I like the idea of trying something different. He's at 1-over through 2, so +5 for the tournament. Martin Kaymer, 1-over through 4 holes, so he's +6 for the Masters. Ian Poulter, even through 7, so he's at +7. getting underway just now. Bernhard Langer, boy, at his age, to be playing, he's at even par after the first hole. He's at plus three. At his age, that is spectacular. Freddie Couples, who's been, he's gotten a lot of crowd support. He's played, I believe, in 30 consecutive Masters now. Even after one, he's at plus three. Rafael Cabrera-Bello, who's one of my favorite up-and-coming golfers, another Spaniard. Even after one, he's at plus three. And then soon to start, Paul Casey, Adam Scott, Daniel Berger. And we won't get to the big dogs until this afternoon. So we won't see Patrick Reed for a while. He's on top of the leaderboard at 14 under. Rory McIlroy, three back at 11 under. So it'll be Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy going out in the final group. Ricky Fowler at 9 under, John Rahm at 8 under. They'll be in the penultimate group with a chance to get in there. If they get out to a hot start, put the pressure on Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy, they could find themselves in the mix. So could Henrik Stenson, who's at 7 under. That's a lot to make up. Seven shots is a lot to make up. But if Henrik Stenson goes out, goes, let's say, 4 or 5 under, and Patrick Reed completely melts down, can find himself in a different kind of Masters, different kind of tournament, a different finish than what you thought, because it's not match play. It's not just Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy. There's still guys that can get into this thing. The Masters has a way of turning reality on its head, so to speak. So that coverage begins at 1 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. At 11 o'clock, Danny Klinkscale, who just walked in about an hour ago, he'll take over with baseball tonight, get you ready for Royals as they finish up their series in Cleveland. Jason Hamill against Mike Clevenger. And then the Royals will be back home for three against the Mariners and four against the Angels. And I'm looking forward to that Angels series on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because as of right now, Ohtani is scheduled to pitch on Sunday. That could change, depending on rain and snow and if games get canceled and whatnot. But we could conceivably see Ohtani hit on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Either DH, play a little first base. I'm not sure if they let him bat the day before he starts, so I'd have to go back. But we could see him bat in at least two games and then pitch on Sunday. I think that would just be a wild set of circumstances that we haven't seen, because they don't do that anymore. So Danny Klinkscale at 11 o'clock to get you set for the Royals and Cleveland in their series finale. Masters at 1 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, Sporting KC and LA Galaxy. Nate Buchady with the call live from No Other Pub. We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back for the final few minutes as the snow continues to fall and swirl here in Kansas City. Try to give you a warm and happy thought, maybe. I'll try to think of something that's positive. Anyway, you're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Riley House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's the final segment here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Riley House Studios. The snow, guys, blowing sideways now. Man alive. I've had enough. I'm out. I'm done with this weather. News just popping up a few minutes ago on ESPN.com, and unfortunately, this is a bad sign. A local kid, Alden Smith, former Raytown High School star, University of Missouri, former first-round draft pick of the San Francisco 49ers, has been arrested again. This is the third time in 2 months he's been arrested. Being held on $500,000 bond. According to online records for the former Raiders and 49ers linebacker, the next court date is on Wednesday. No new charges are listed, but TMZ Sports reports that Alden Smith was arrested for violating conditions of his bail. Also, Smith was arraigned Thursday on three charges of violating a protective order, which was issued when he was arraigned on March 12th for his original domestic violence charges stemming from a March 3rd incident with his fiance. He turned himself in on those charges on March 23rd, but failed to show for a court appearance 2 weeks ago before making his appearance on Thursday. He was ordered to wear an ankle monitor, which monitors alcohol through your sweat. Alden Smith's fiance, Shauna McKnight, said in a statement to TMZ Sports, quote, "Unfortunately, through these circumstances, Alden and I are no longer together. Although it is with a heavy heart, I truly wish him the best and pray he gets the help he needs." It's a shame for Alden Smith and the folks around him. It's a shame for his now former fiance that she was the victim of domestic violence. He's only 28 years old, Alden Smith. First round draft pick of the 49ers back in 2011. All pro in 2012 with 44 sacks in his first three seasons and had several run-ins with the law. Weapons charges, DUI charges multiple times. 28 years old. Putting up the kind of numbers that would earn you what they call generational money, meaning your kids and grandkids, maybe great grandkids, would never have to work again. And it's, you know, I've met Alden Smith's dad before. Good dude. And I hope, like Alden Smith's fiance said, you know, I hope he gets the help he needs. This is a long-running problem for Alden Smith. All right, so how about this? We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left in the show. Let's end on something positive. I said I would end on something positive. It's snow blowing. It's cold. It's miserable. Seasonal affect disorder. About ready to go buy one of those UV lamps since we haven't seen the sun in a month and a half. Jed Marshall, our producer, got a list from Justin McGuire. Top 15 baseball movies. And I really don't want to get into that whole discussion. It's a talk radio crutch that we have. Call in and let me know your best baseball movies. Or should Pete Rose be in the Baseball Hall of Fame? I just want to pick out a movie from the list that that makes you feel good about the game and it makes you laugh. Makes you feel good about you know, your family. So the list, and I don't know if we have time to go through the whole list. I'm probably not going to do that. But, Jed, you've seen the list. You gave me the list.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it. And I'm not going to debate the list because it is what it is. This is what the guy likes. On that list, and they're all the obvious choices, which one's your favorite? And I'm going to go home and try to watch one.
Major League is my favorite. Okay. I think where he went wrong, I think A League of Their Own, even at 4, is underrated. And I think The Sandlot at 7 is also underrated. Those are two of my favorites.
Yeah.
But pretty good list. Yeah. I don't know. There was one. So the one that I actually have never seen and actually want to go and watch after reading the review that this guy wrote, it's called The Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars and Motor Kings.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but when I was much younger, I loved the movie.
But yeah, I guess it's about barnstorming and the Negro Leagues. It sounded great. So I'm really looking. I'm going to watch that.
You know all the people who are in that movie?
I looked at it yesterday. There are a bunch of good actors in it. I can't
remember. Billy Dee Williams.
Yep.
Richard Pryor.
Yep.
And that's just off the top of my head. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but very entertaining. Not sure how accurate the depiction is of how a traveling baseball team worked at the time.
I don't care about accuracy when I'm watching movies.
Yeah.
I just want to have a good time.
It's a good time.
Not have it snowing.
Tell you the movie I like. And these are, they're all good movies. I mean, Bull Durham is my go-to. I mean, I just love it. 8 Men Out.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh. Fantastic. I mean, it's a little, I've read the book, 8 Men Out, the actual account of the 1919 Black Sox scandal and throwing the world. So I've read the book, and the movie leaves out a couple of pretty big important facts, like most movies do.
Like Moneyball not mentioning anything about pitching. It's all about on-base percentage.
Yeah, they pick
forget
one.
Forget the fact that we have three stud pitchers.
Yes.
No, that has nothing to do with the A's winning.
I forget that they never mentioned those guys. Never. But 8 Men Out leaves out a couple of very, very pertinent facts of the storyline. But It's a good movie, and it's a good synopsis of what happened. And the actors in that movie are just fantastic. Just fantastic. All right, we are just about out of time here. I want to thank our guest today, Howard Richmond, from the Golf Course Superintendents Association, talking Masters. Thanks to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, getting us ready for the draft. And Andy Edwards, hope you're enjoying the extra rest that you got today by missing the appearance to talk about Sporting KC and LA Galaxy. Danny Klinkscale is coming up next with Baseball Tonight. Get you set for the Royals series finale with Cleveland. And then Sporting KC and LA Galaxy tonight at 8 o'clock. The Masters at 1 o'clock. Thanks to Jed Marshall, our producer. My name is Brad Porter. You've been listening to Sports Sunday live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.